Thanks very much, and I enjoyed good conversation and good coffee. The population of Birmingham increases by 200 people a week. We're officially Europe's youngest city, with 38% of the population under 25. So 200 people a week, well, 200 people is a very good-sized church in our city. There aren't many churches of 200, and yet that's the challenge that we face. So our population will increase by 100,000 in the 10-year period between the 2011 census and the 2021 census. So that's the equivalent of the city of Oxford moving to Birmingham in 10 years. And those kind of statistics aren't unusual in terms of growth of villages, towns, cities, and the challenges that therefore face us and the needs that are before us. That if we're not going to go to these folk with the gospel, no one else is. So we sort of said, look, we need to have that missional heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ to go, that missional heartbeat will turn us from reluctant accidental church planters to people with that intention to prayerfully say, if we can, we will. Or maybe when we can, we must, we should be saying. But to therefore try to gather our churches behind us in that vision for the lost. And also to myth bust and sort of say, look, that church planting isn't beyond the reach of us as a church, perhaps. Maybe partnering with a church plant. Maybe trying to work with another couple of churches in our context to do something new. Maybe partnering with a church plant that we will prayerfully support and get behind another gospel initiative that's within the gospel partnership, that we as a church might begin to get a taste or a feel for church planting just by adopting a church plant in some sense that we want to prayerfully support in different ways. So we're going to turn really from the why questions and a little bit of the what as we thought about different types and approaches to church planting to, in this session, something more about the how we might work together and what that might look like for you. And I appreciate, again, I don't know your situation and circumstances, so these are general points that you as a gospel partnership need to be then working through for yourselves. But that's really what we're aiming to do in this second session. So I think on the handouts we are on page 5 or 6, is that right? Session 2, page 6. Gospel courage, helping your church take the next steps. Well, in one sense, it's about beginning a conversation more generally with your church family. And it begins by helping them understanding that church planting is not for the few, that it's not a strange or alien thing, but it's really just a natural extension of an evangelistic church ministry. People have church planted before our generation. In fact, chatting to someone who's part of a small network of churches that really were formed out of the work of the Countess of Huntingdon 300 years ago. Church plants that were formed around the gospel work and renewal that took place 300 years ago. Just thinking, well, we're not the first to think about these things, and we won't be the last, but just see it as an extension of what we are doing. So Tim Keller says church planting shouldn't be like building a building. Maybe you've had a building project ongoing, I don't know, but it's not one big traumatic event followed by a deep collective sigh of relief that it's done. Paul was continually engaging in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Church planting should be as much an ongoing natural part of your ministry as worship, evangelism, fellowship, education, and service. So there are three mindset shifts that we need to help congregations to go through. The first one is being willing to give away. And of course, many churches say, I'm not sure we could really afford to lose people. I'm not sure we've got the money that would be needed to plant a church. I'm not sure we've got the leaders who would know how to do it. And there are lots of reasons for us to press pause. But I guess we could get stuck on pause indefinitely, couldn't we? It's always tomorrow. So we've got to say, it may cost, but actually to reach a new community for Jesus may mean actually saying goodbye to that family who have been amazing at this church. And we really don't know how we're going to replace them, but it would be amazing if they went and reach people that we can't reach from this building. So you've got to be willing to give away resources. You also have to be willing to give away control. So some of us are control freaks, that's why we're in this role. But we need to say, look, if we send some people to start a new gospel work, or if we work with a neighboring church towards a new initiative, That might mean it will take a shape, maybe not from day one, but over time it will become a church that in some ways is quite different from us. Not theologically, and perhaps not ecclesiologically either, but nevertheless doing things in different ways. So our daughter church, Grace, is very different from City Church, and I think it should be, because it's trying to reach a different group of people in a different part of the city, and it reflects the very people they're trying to reach. And of course, you must be willing to care for the kingdom more than for your tribe. And that will mean working with others that maybe you've never worked with before. So this church that had the vote on Thursday, that church gives away 50% of its income to World Mission. So I think it's got a staggering view of mission. 50% of all the money. It's kind of a really classic, good, reformed, Bible-centered church with a vision for the lost. But it was in danger of closing down. So it's a strange paradox of a church that was so mission-minded, but was 10 years from closing. But by God's grace, will look to now have a bright future, where hopefully they'll continue to give 50% of their money to World Mission, but not just for the next 10 years while one by one they are taken to glory, but as the Lord adds and builds that church. But we need that mission mindset. So helping your church to understand that it's a natural extension, not a weird thing that some trendy people are into or whatever. B, help your church overcome barriers, the barriers that are natural to those who've never seen it. So you might be in a church where you think, well, I could talk about church planting from the day we've had together, but I don't know that many people would say they've ever been in a church that's a brand new church or have known much about it. And you've got to sort of overcome the inertia, fear of the unknown, the simply, oh, I can't see how that would work here. And there are a couple of ways you could do that very naturally and very easily. You could promote across your Sussex Gospel Partnership a partnership scheme so that as new churches are planted, the non-church planting churches are invited to partner. And we'll talk a little bit about how that partnership might work in a few minutes' time, sharing resources, best practice, information, maybe some people, and prayer. And of course, you could invite a local church planter to come to a meeting, a prayer meeting of your congregation, or to come and meet with your leadership team to sort of talk through what do you mean, church planting, how did it work, and what would you say to us, and so on. And I've been and done that in a few churches where they've said, would you just come and explain how City Church started and help just answer all the questions that they've got about church planting, just to a leadership team of a local church, and just help them through think through that process, helping overcome the fear of the unknown. I think you've got to help your church to both ask and answer the question, is it time? Is it time for us to plant? And it won't be time for many of you just yet. In Graham's book, Planting for the Gospel, he says, the key question for any church to consider is simply this: how can we best grow both in quality of discipleship and spread of the gospel? The answer might mean staying as one church. It might mean planting another. It might mean planting many. I might want to just nuance that slightly to say, when he says the answer might mean staying as one church, that actually you can have your cake and eat it. You can stay as one church and either plant into the building a new congregation, or a new congregation have a multi-site model down the road, and keep all your people and all your giving, but actually try and still reach a new community. But there we are. But is it time is a wisdom issue. Even with the best will in the world, can we best grow in terms of quality of discipleship and spread of the gospel by staying as a single church, or by starting to plant one, or even planting many? You need to help your church answer the question, can we afford to plant a new church? So we need to start talking money, and that depends on models. And it depends, of course, on your heart's desire and commitment to mission and reaching outside of the local church. So the easiest models, the new congregation models, say it's costing City Church £100 a week. That's all, to start a new gospel outreach and a new multi-site congregation. It can be done at a little cost to start a new work. Turning over to page 7, where are we? Of course, many networks at the top there are now seeking to resource church plants financially. So it may not all depend on you as a church. So there's a way to find money for church plants that is perhaps a little bit different from a building project or something else, or calling a new minister or a youth worker within your congregation. And building up that expertise as to who do you go to and how do you get money for church planting. There are ways to do it, and I found that with a clear gospel vision and an identifiable project, there are people who want to give their resources to church plants in that way. And we've benefited from that in Birmingham. In fact, that little congregation in Longbridge, which is the 17 people that went to Longbridge in the south of the city, received over 50% of the money that was needed for that church plant from a church in America. And that church in America said, you know what? Rather than sending missionaries all over the world, we need to look to resource and finance church plants of indigenous leaders all over the world. So that church has now assisted in the planting of about 500 congregations, and about 10 of them I know of in the UK, and they're always looking for projects to support. So their world mission budget goes towards someone who might be in this room. Saying, well, if you've got a vision for a church plant, we'd rather give you the money to plant a church than send Americans to come and do the work for you. Now, that's a rather simplistic vision view, a simplistic statement of their model. They still do support mission partners going out from their congregation. But there's money there. And the problem is, of course, you think, well, how am I ever going to know about that church? And how could we do that? And again, that's where the conversations need to happen. You don't have to have all of the money. There are ways, by God's grace, of finding it. And then E, help your church answer the question, can we partner with others in planting churches? So many partnership churches may not be in a position to plant, but could you do it together? And again, how does that work? And what might be involved in doing that? So those are the questions that I think you're wanting to go back and start to discuss with your leadership teams. How do we see this as a natural extension? How do we overcome the inertia or the won't work here mindset? How do we answer the question, is it time? Can we afford it? And can we work with others? And those conversations can happen as soon as you get back, can't they, if you feel that's where the Lord is leading you. What about partnership then? I want to say a little bit here, just for those who say, well, we're a long way off planting, but we love the vision, and we would like to partner with a church planting church. Can I say that is extremely valuable for a number of reasons? Let me just give you these five there. Why does it take more than one church to plant a church? Well, look, church planting can be really lonely, particularly pioneer church planting or someone who's moving into an area to start a new work. And it's lonely business. And church planters are not superheroes. They're not sort of the elite forces who can just go it alone and in their own strength. And they would be blessed greatly by a congregation who in various ways said, we are for you and want to encourage you in any way we can. So we heard about the marriage enrichments for pastors and their wives here. Well, just a young couple coming to plant a church might be really blessed by an older pastor and his wife who says, why don't we meet together every month or every couple of months for the first year just to help you work through the challenges and issues you're facing in church planting in this new community. That's a terrific way in which you could be a blessing, because there's no doubt that the church planter and his marriage is one of the biggest issues in starting a new work. So church planting is lonely. Maybe you could partner in that way. Church planting is risky. There are all sorts of reasons why it could fail, and you might be able to highlight some of the blockages or challenges or opportunities that someone may not grasp for themselves just because you've been around longer and you've been pastoring for a lot longer and you're spotting things, and from what's being said to you, you can just see what maybe needs to happen next. So at City Church, we formed a council of reference when we started. And one of the reasons we did, just on the point four here, church planting can be divisive. When you go into a community to start a new work, both the people who live there and also the church leaders who are there, who may not be evangelicals, will say, well, who are you? And what are you doing here? And who gave you the permission to come and start this work? And so on. So when we started City, we asked five people to be on a council of reference for us, to kind of pray for us, to look after us a little bit. They were each invited to come and visit and preach. Not all of them felt they could do that, but some of them did. And one of those on the council of reference was a leader of a larger FIEC church, not very far away. And he was really helpful to us in terms of our conversations. It was really helpful to us in finding a school that was willing to allow us to meet in their building, that we had some credibility because other churches were recognizing us and partnering with us in what we were doing. And it helped us talk to the other churches when they said, well, who are you and why should you be here? We said, well, look, you know, we're not just people who just can't settle in a local church and fall out with everybody and just doing our own thing. This is our vision and these are the people who are really happy to support the initiative. Church planting is also really resource intensive, and you could be a partner church with a church plant by helping. That might be money you might want to give to a new church plant. It might be local knowledge. It might be you give up a team to run a holiday Bible club. So here's a brand new church on a new build estate. One of the ways I really want to engage the community and get involved is a Bible club. And you say, well, we could run that. Yeah, we run that. We've got a great team. We've been doing it for years. They could just come and just do our Bible club for you. Fantastic. Or City Mission, Birmingham City Mission, have been a great help to a number of our 2020 planters. Do you want some of our evangelists to just come and help door knock and meet people and introduce the church and so on, or to help run some of your events? And of course, church planting is expensive. There is that need for money, and partnership is a way to do that. So it takes more than one church to plant a church. So if you think, well, what is our role in all of this? Well, there it is. You can help meet some of those needs. What might partnership look like for you then with a plant? Well, supporting from a distance. I've outlined some of this in the last few minutes. It could be that you pray and adopt a church plant, just as you would a mission partner. And they feature as much in the life of your church life as the mission partners you support around the world. It may be, therefore, that you invite the minister of that church plant to come and you regularly pray for them and support them. Or when they have a church weekend away or a day away or something like that, you send the team that runs the kids' work for that church for that weekend. There's a real strength of bond and partnership. You mentor planters. You might be able to supply people and finances. You may help them with the local knowledge and validation in the community and so on. You may simply provide some administrative support. They don't have a printer to print the flyers that they want to distribute. You say, well, we've got this enormous great photocopying machine. Come and just do your printing here, rather than have to pay the guy down the road to do it, whatever else it might be. Supporting from a distance, different ways in which you can do that. Supporting for a limited period. It might be you don't want to say, we are going to commit ourselves to working alongside this plant forever, but you say, we want to stand with you in the first 1 to 3 years. Prayer and finance support. I know one church that offered an elder to attend the leadership team meetings of that new church plant for a year. So you said, our elder is just going to come and sit in your eldership meetings, not to tell you what to do, but to just be a little bit of a coach, guide and a steer for you, and will come, be seconded to you for that first year to meet and be a part of it. And then we've said, kids team, holiday club. We've just, for our second city project, which is starting in 2 weeks' time, this is the 100 quid a week one. What we lacked was a musician. And we've got a guy to come over from America for 6 months to lead our music, and it's all being paid for by a church in America. And we've never had any connection with that church before, ever. But through a friend of a friend, that church has bought his plane ticket. We're paying his accommodation costs. He's a young man interested in ministry, plays the guitar. So you could be really, really helpful to us. So we've got a music leader for 6 months out of an American church just to help us with that. And then additional resources through the launch phase. That's where City Missions and others come in. We want to do a community barbecue. But we're only 12 people. Okay, well, let's get some guys in. Let's get the City Mission in. Let's get some other local churches in to help us do that. So what does it look like to partner? Well, be as creative and as imaginative as you can be. And I just think that means that for everyone within the partnership, there's a role for you to play. You can have church planting on your agenda, even if you're not going to be a church planting church within the next 5 years. But what you'll do is by sharing in the life of this church plant, I think you'll begin to excite your own congregation about what maybe could be for you. And that maybe you could do something more than you ever realized through. And the first step in is by standing alongside a church plant and partnering with them. And then, of course, you might partner with a church by planting together. And that's we've sort of looked a little bit about that. So turning over onto page 8, partnering with Sussex Gospel Partnership. What does it mean for you as a group? Well, you'll hear more about that in a few minutes' time. That's not really my role to say a great deal. But I think you want to be praying for more plants across the region, not just the village next door to you that you see a need, but praying across the region and becoming an advocate for church planting right across Sussex. It might be that you can, as a partnership, identify potential leaders and prospective church planters. And that might mean that you just say, well, we couldn't plant a church, but we've got a young guy who I think shows great potential, who maybe could plant a church. And we want to make that known to the partnership. And want to know whether the partnership could usefully find him an internship with a newer church, maybe a church plant that's been going 5 years. So that guy works for 2 years with this church plant with a view to him going on to plant for the partnership. And you couldn't plant a church yourself, but you've got a guy who you think could. And he goes through the partnership in that way. And then, of course, you want to promote the work of church planting within your church. Let's just turn briefly to Philippians 4, verses 15 to 20. And I want to strongly encourage you down this route, because I think it brings partnership in the gospel in this way, brings all sorts of blessing. And what I love about the partnership that Paul has with the Philippians is how quick Paul is to point out that their partnership of giving and praying for him is something that God adds to their account as much as to his, if not more. Chapter 4 and verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and know that I have received full payment, and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there's a wonderful example of this partnering church that's supporting Paul as he plants gospel churches across Thessalonica. And they were the church that had the vision. They were the church that supported him. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. They funded this church planting initiative. And they share together. The Philippian letter, of course, is a letter full of gospel joy in the partnership that they have, the beginning of the letter and at the end of the letter. They share in mission that brings them great joy in the gospel. And partnering and planting in this way helps keep a church outward focused. As they sent Paul aid, they sent Paul people like Epaphroditus, and they prayed consistently for him. It holds out partnership a bigger vision for Sussex and the needs that exist. And of course, it may very well be the spur that you need to partner first, to plant sometime in the future. Well, working together to plant more churches. When we started 2020 Birmingham, it really was just a conversation between me and one other church pastor who had a vision for church planting. We had coffee together, and we simply said, could we do more together than we can do on our own? And what we realized is we probably weren't going to plant churches together. He was a New Frontiers pastor. I was an FIC pastor. We thought, well, we just couldn't take eight from your church and eight from mine. It just wouldn't work. Theologically and ecclesiologically, it isn't going to work. But are there ways in which by coming together, more churches can be planted that are stronger and healthier than if we just worked on our own? And we thought, yes, that could happen. We could train together. We could pray together. We could fundraise together. We could map the city and consider the needs together. And 2020 Birmingham was really born out of just that recognition that we can do more together than on our own, and we didn't know where that would take us. But we did decide to set a goal. We didn't identify where we thought we'd look to plant churches, but we did decide that we ought to have an intentional goal as to how many churches under God we might see planted. And I think what that did is it's kept us focused and it's kept us going. Without that goal, I think we would have just met maybe for a year or two and other things would have, you know, grabbed our attention or taken off our time. What's kept us going is people keep saying, oh, so how's it going? What number? Where are you up to? Because we said 20 gospel churches in a period of 10 years. And people just say, oh, what number are you at now? And we know, right, it's a 10-year commitment that we have made, and with a particular prayer focus within that 10 years. If you'd asked us at the start, where would they come from? We had no idea. We thought, well, maybe we'd each plant 3 churches in 10 years so we could see where 5 or 6 could come from. We had no idea where the rest were going to come from, and the Lord's really surprised us. They've come from unexpected people and unexpected places. We had a Romanian simply phone us up and say, I live in Romania, but I was a student in Durham at Durham University, did my master's in theology there, and I've always thought about coming back and ministering in the UK. He said, I'm in Romania's second largest city, and I saw your website, 2020 Birmingham, and Birmingham's the UK's second largest city. I wonder whether I could pay a visit. So he and his wife and another lead couple just got on a plane and came and visited for the weekend. And we'd only done about 5 churches by then, and he said, I'm really interested in this vision. There's no evangelical church for Romanians in Birmingham. Some really good ones in London and actually in the East Midlands, but nothing in Birmingham. Just wondering whether I might come here. And so for the so they made that decision back in Romania. We had letters of recommendation from the Baptist Union, and we thought, no, you're a gospel man. He was pastoring a church of about 400 people. He wasn't coming because he needed the ministry. He had a vision. And we said, well, we'd love to work with you. And so he started Emmaus Church, which is a church for Romanians and Moldovans in Birmingham. And for the first 3 months, he lived in a house of another church. He and his wife lived in the house of another church planter who'd only planted 1 year previously but had a spare room and lived there for 3 months as they got up and running. So that was the most unexpected partnership. But it's been just tremendously fruitful. And the community of Romanians in Birmingham is growing all the time. And we're just thrilled to have a Romanian gospel church that has come because we had this 2020 commitment. It was on a website. He found it and joined us. So I think being intentional as a gospel partnership, to my mind, is something that I would commend to you. I don't know what actually is going to be said next, but I think this is not going to contradict what's coming next. But we put a number to it. I've never done that before in ministry, never done that within our own church. But we thought, look, if we're going to partner across church and across denominations, what's going to keep us sticking at it is to have a focused, prayerful goal that we think is realizable. And so we're in the process now. We've not made a commitment, but we're in the process now of deciding, are we going to go for another 10 years from 2020 to 2030? And at the moment, we think the next 30 would be, we're looking at 30 for 30 30s. That would be 50 altogether, 20 in the first 10 years, 30 in the second 10 years. And we're saying we think the second 30 would be harder than the first 20, and we therefore probably need to employ. We've never employed anyone to work for 2020. It's all just busy pastors and church planters serving each other. So, there's no infrastructure, there's no staffing. We're just pastors and planters serving each other. But we have thought if we wanted to go for the next 30, we probably would need to employ what the Americans call a catalyst. The kind of person that's just going to try and recruit church planters, is going to raise up an internship program for young guys who maybe have a church planting instinct. He's going to work amongst the churches, they're saying, oh, could we really church plant, and what would that look? And he's going to offer some advice and some steer. So we're looking to fundraise at the moment. And if we can get the money together to employ that catalyst, I think we will make that decision to go the next stage and look for 30 by 2030. But we'd appreciate your prayers for that as we go. So just in conclusion, keep casting vision for the urgent need to plant churches. You know, we've come here today for a morning. It might grab our attention for a week, and then it could quickly fade into nothing. But if we believe that heaven and hell are real, and if we believe that we must do all things possible, by all means that we might save some, surely church planting has to feature in a network, a gospel partnership like this. So Keller says, church planting is not only for frontier regions or pagan societies that we're trying to help become Christian. Church societies will have to maintain vigorous, extensive church planting simply to stay Christian. One church, no matter how big, will never be able to serve the needs of such a diverse city, or we might say community as well. And if it all feels a bit much and you don't know where it's all going, I think what we've seen in Birmingham is that when the Lord's in it, it's his work and he gives the growth. We've made it up as we've gone along, and he's just decided to bless. So one London church-based planter in a book that I read said, we weren't especially thought through. We've learned as we've gone along. We simply knew that we had a small crowd, a place to meet, some musicians, a Bible, and a great God. And so we were prepared to give it a go. And I want to just say, why couldn't that be us as well? Well, let's pray together, and then I think there might be a few minutes for questions here. Father, thank you for showing us again this morning the urgent need for the gospel to go out to our villages, towns, and cities. And Lord, we believe that church planting has a place to play, and we need to know what that place is for us. Whether as a partner church or a planting church, help us to know how to process this well, how to take it back to leadership teams and churches for further consideration. We pray for Sussex Gospel Partnership that maybe it might be known as a church planting movement in years to come, that in what is articulated and shared in just a few minutes' time, we might see just the beginnings of a church planting movement to reach every community across Sussex for him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great. Thank you very much, Neil, for that. We have got a chance for some questions up until 12:30. What am I supposed to do with this? Having fun? Does that make any difference? There we are. Okay.
Got to use the lecture mic. Yeah. No,
take that. Is his on?
Anything? Yeah. There we are. Yeah. We've got it. Yeah.
John, I'll take that.
Okay. So we've got till 12:30 for some questions. Anything that springs to mind that you want to be asking Neil? Yeah.
Thank you for what you shared this morning. What's your comment on where so-called plants are set up from disenfranchised church members or churches that, you know, there's people just think, I don't agree with that ministry, and we'll go off and start something somewhere else? Or you get a loose cannon who comes into a place where there's already a gospel church and thinks, you know, I'll have a go. It seems to be without any lack of authority or anything like that. So I just wondered if you'd comment on that, because you've tried to put a biblical basis to it. But, of course, not all so-called plants are like that. They're often from people who are upset, disenfranchised in their own church, and think they can go off and set up something elsewhere.
Thank you. I'm going to answer that question, but I'm just going to start with an illustration that we shouldn't feel threatened by someone coming into a community if they have a clear gospel vision that we feel could work very happily alongside the kind of work that we're doing. So the church that we're meeting in, this £100 a week thing, we're calling it Second City Church. The church that we're meeting with is an evangelical church, big city church right next to the Selfridges building in the Bullring, one of Birmingham's flagship churches. The minister there would say, look, the kind of people I can reach here are very much the needier end of our community. I can reach the lonely people who just find their way into a church, just want someone to talk to. I can reach the drug addicts. I can reach the tourists. I can reach the businessmen who are here for a conference, who just want somewhere to reflect and maybe pray, who might be believers and just see this as a church to come in. He said, I'm not going to be able to do the kind of ministry and work that you have made the focus of your endeavors, which is primarily working amongst the younger graduates, 20-somethings, post-Christian, secular folk, and so on. And he sees that our visions of what he's doing and what we're doing mean that we can share a building and better reach that community. So he's not threatened by us, and he's just been amazingly generous to say, come in and use this as a base for that ministry. But he sees that we're sort of, in that sense, kind of on mission together to reach more people than we ever could on our own. The problem with accidental church plants or church plants caused by divisions and splits is they're not really mission-driven and orientated. And that means you can have maverick guys who basically say there is no church with the right theology, and, you know, I want a, you know, whatever it might be, King James only, or not that, you know, whatever it could be anything like that. And I think, you know, we need to be a little bit more concerned about those kind of lone rangers. Now, God is big enough to work through someone whose motives in planting are altogether skewed. You know, what does Paul say in Philippians about people who preach the gospel from wrong motives in chapter 1? He says, what does it matter? If the gospel is being proclaimed and going out, what does it matter? But I think some of the lone rangers are not really about, right, we are coming in here to reach this community, but rather I have issues, needs, and I need to gather people around me. And they can be very damaging. So I have concerns about those folk and have had conversations with some of those folk about what we're doing in Birmingham. But I have met some who have thought, well, your church plant is coming out of a really difficult church split. And I've heard the story of what went on. And I thought, you know what, God can still bless what you're doing because you are a gospel person. You know, we look at the book of Acts and we look at the fallings out, and even in the book of Acts, between God's people, and God has still taken and blessed different ministries. So I am worried about the Lone Ranger. I'm less concerned where a sad split has happened, but I've heard both sides of the story and I think, yeah, why can't you both go on to honor God in that?
I guess one thing that strikes me is partnership is a bit of a protection here, isn't it, against the Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
Because actually there's a sense then in which it's the church more broadly in an area that's backing and sending into the plant rather than someone thinking, I want my own church and go off.
So for us, it was the Council of Reference. Midlands Gospel Partnership, I'm on the steering group of that, didn't exist at the time anyway. So we just handpicked a number of church leaders who we knew to say, would you be happy to put your name to what we're doing? And we wanted to make sure one of them was really close to us and would see us up close. And he was there for our sort of inaugural service and prayed at it and that kind of thing, which helped.
Brilliant. Another question.
Neil, could you... Hi. Could you just describe what 2020 looks like in terms of relationships and how you meet and support each other? And as part of that, how does that relate to the Midlands Gospel Partnership and what they're doing?
Brilliant. So the Midlands Gospel Partnership... The origins of 2020 were within the Midlands Gospel Partnership. The desire was, how do we as a partnership plant churches... And we gathered together a few key leaders in Birmingham and realized the only intentional church planting church in the room was us. So there were in other words, what we had was a number of churches that were ready to be partner churches, but we didn't have enough church planting churches. This is going back quite a few years ago now. So we decided, okay, so within Midlands Gospel Partnership, we can't be a church planting movement for the city, because we haven't got enough church planting churches able and willing to do it. So in one sense, going and talking to other gospel churches that were not really part of our tribe was a risky thing that we undertook out of necessity. So a partnership with New Frontiers works in Birmingham. I'm not sure it works everywhere, and I've talked to enough city leaders for me to know that kind of partnership isn't going to work everywhere. But the New Frontiers church planter, who's in the video, me and that guy talking in the video, if he preaches at my church, I think people don't think it's anything particularly different than me. And I could, so I preach at his church, he preaches at my church. But I could never worship at his church. It would, you know, the style and the content, the theology just doesn't work. So we went outside of this small gospel partnership, which itself was only 7 or 8 years old, and had to build connections elsewhere. So we went to the City Mission, and we went to the New Frontiers pastor, and we the forms of 2020 came through that. What we do is the church planters meet once a month for peer-to-peer prayer, training, and resourcing. So we meet one Wednesday every month, and I was just saying to someone earlier, one of the guys has got this cracking idea of really to combat loneliness and to reach the elderly within his community. He's running Christianity Explored for the over 70s. And I thought it's a really interesting idea. And he's literally picking people up from their houses, they're gathering, and they love eating a meal together, and they're happy enough to talk around the Bible. And I thought, we all need to think about that. And so he's going to do the training on our next 2020 gathering and say, I've just stumbled across a good idea for mission. And we're all going to go away and process that and decide where to take that within our own churches. So that's what I mean by peer-to-peer support and coaching. So we do that one Wednesday, and then we have lunch together. So we pray, peer-to-peer train, have lunch, encourage each other, and go back to our church plants. And then once a year, we do a conference where we encourage all the churches in Birmingham, if they'd like to come to Birmingham, to come into the, meet some of the 2020 planters, hear some of the stories, get someone to do some teaching, which we think, although is aimed primarily at planters, there'll be enough crossover so that established church leaders that haven't got a vision for planting might say, that was actually beneficial for me. So last year it was Ray Evans, just did some of his Ready, Steady, Cook, or whatever it's called, you know, and it was great. And the church planters loved it, and the established churches, but what were we doing aroundside Ray, telling loads of stories and interviewing people about what was going on in their church planting? So the established churches were saying, that was a helpful day for me, and I was really interested to meet some of the church planters and hear it. So the conference is a bit of, we want, our ultimate goal is that every church in Birmingham says, when we can, we will. And that's a mindset shift, and the conference gives us a platform for helping some churches go through that mindset shift.
Other questions?
Having been in FIEC and EFCC churches for about 35 years and now back in the Anglican Church, I realised that one advantage, of course, you have in the free churches is you're not geographically bound. Back in the Anglican Church, of course, we have the parochial system, and of course you can be treading on someone else's toes if you venture into their parish. Thinking about communities that perhaps straddle or are wholly within another parish that you see as a good target area for a church plant. Have you any thoughts on that? On diplomacy, etc.?
Well, my understanding is that Anglicans are planting what I would call independent churches all over the place. That's what they do to get around the parish system. So they're just planting congregations. I'm not really qualified to speak on that. And it hasn't really happened in Birmingham yet, because the Anglican Church, I think, has been weak on church planting, and the independent church stronger. But my friends who are planting, Amy, whatever, you know, the sort of independent Anglican hybrid churches, I don't really understand it theologically. I've visited a few of them and really encouraged by what they're doing. I think yours looks exactly like my church on the ground, and they're being able to basically do those, sometimes with permission from the bishop, sometimes just doing their own thing as sort of local congregations. So I think there are ways around the parish system, but obviously you've then got to put in a whole lot more money if you're going to plant one of what I'm going to call an independent Anglican church, because you won't get anything from the diocese. It's got to become its own thing. And in that sense, that just puts us and them on a level playing field, because we're saying, well, that's how we've done every one of our churches. So there's no problem. It's, you know, if we can do it, you can do it. And I guess that's just what I'm seeing happening. But I'm not an Anglican. I'm not really qualified to speak. But I guess that's how they're trying to work around where the diocese or the bishop is saying no to planting, or the local or the minister in the neighbouring parish says no. Is that right?
I think what Church of England churches can have is they have a parish they could plant into. Sometimes that works. They often have a building that they could start a distinct congregation up in terms of a different model of planting that Neil mentioned there as well. Or they can plant into another parish with the goodwill of the vicar there. So there's a number of different options as well before you get to the point of saying actually the gospel requires us to do something outside of the denomination. So there are both pros and cons, I think, to the Anglican context for planting. Very diplomatic answer, that one. Any other questions?
I think actually Mark was going to go first, then we'll go to two. Did you have a question, Mark?
Well, it's slightly related, actually. I was just going to ask whether you've had any Anglican churches involved or any Anglican churches planted, but it sounds like not.
We haven't. We've had six conferences for 2020 Birmingham, and we've had bishops from the Church of England speak at three of them. So we're really trying hard to bring them on board. Had a very good meeting with the diocese, a couple of folk from the diocese. They've got growing younger. Is that just the Diocese of Birmingham, does that mean anything to anyone? So that's obviously a Diocese of Birmingham thing, growing younger, how they're trying to renew churches across the diocese. And they wanted some time with 2020 Birmingham, and we're working through whether we can work together. But that's only happened in the last month, that conversation. But we've been sort of pursuing or wooing the diocese for 6 years by saying, will you come and speak at our conference? So we had the Bishop of Aston, the Suffragan Bishop, spoke twice, and then the Bishop of Birmingham, David Urquhart, spoke last time. Tim Hughes has just arrived in Birmingham and is doing an HTB big church thing. But their goal is that will be a hub church to plant out of. Whether that's good news or bad news, I don't yet know. But we've asked, can we have our next 2020 conference at your church? So we, again, are going to Tim Hughes and saying, let's at least explore. So we want to be as generous as we can be in partnership. But, of course, we can only work with those who theologically are orthodox and want partnership. So we're pursuing the Church of England in Birmingham, but it's early days.
The reality is that just as these plants make other local churches think, oh, we need to think again about this because look what's going on over there, that can happen denominationally as well, can't it? The more planting there is, the more the Church of England will think this is something we've got to get into. Now, Tim. Last question,
Neil, thank you so much for this morning. Multi-site, you can only split yourself into so many parts on a Sunday morning. Some of us may try two or three different occasions on a Sunday morning. Love to know, outside of a Sunday morning, what are you finding is actually attracting people to come? Sunday tea time, what kind of opportunities are there where you can, like you're doing with your £100 a week thing, what is that? And what have you seen that is actually working outside of a Sunday morning, please?
Well, I think for us, the £100 thing, we are trying to do it it's quite a different model. We're doing much more cafe church than we would have at City, which is much more traditional in lots of ways. But for us, it's about location. So we're trying to just reach people who would never make it to where we meet on a Sunday. So rather than just saying, hey, we've got a website, people should come to us, we're saying they just won't. I mean, people within a mile and a half of where we meet might just find us, but we need to go to other parts of the city, and we just recognize in the city center there isn't anything really obvious. So we've just gone for location, location, location. In one sense, that's what's caused us to plant out a new congregation, is we need to go somewhere else. But we've decided for the city center, a more cafe-style culture probably suits a little better as well.